Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, to have anybody who is, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast. So a big thank you to C&G Paving for jumping in and sponsoring us this year. We got to start, obviously, with the biggest story locally. Louisa County football is playing for a state title. First time we've had a public school in the Skirmish Play area play for a state title in 5 years. First time a school from the JD in 10 years. I mean, this is really a historic run that Louisa's put together, and and to do it in unbeaten fashion with everything they've been through adversity-wise, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost too perfect. It's got that sort of fairy tale element to it, I think, that, like, this is something, oh, wouldn't it be cool if in Mark Fisher's last year, before he announces, if they can make a big run, a playoff run, do you set it at a state title limit? Like, would we have gone that far? Like, well, if they make it to the Final Four, that would be like, that would
be pretty incredible.
Here we are, man. They got one left.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost become, I guess it's easy to list at this point everything that this squad has been through. You have the passing of Job Whalen's mother last year. You have Mark Fisher's cancer that they've been dealing with for several years now. Yeah, Jaden Athey Parrish, the recent alum. What these guys have been through is just, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with, and this is a program that's dealt with a lot before this. Josh Campy in the past, dealing with cancer.
And, oh, the earthquake in 2011.
Wow, well, forgot about the earthquake. Yeah. The earth literally has moved around this team and around this program. They have an entirely different school than when they were, this group of seniors was in middle school. And I think that this is just one of those this is a story that you could probably make a movie about it.
I think that's a
copyright, by the way. if that's going to happen, I definitely want to hold on to trademark rights for the movie idea. But whatever, I'm sure Louisa owns it. But I think it's important to note that this is an incredible story. It is certainly just special.
Yeah, and I think that sort of, we can make a movie out of it. That's when you're watching some of these games, you're almost thinking like, oh, come on, that's too perfect. Like, everything just sort of, the stars are aligning every single week. And it's just, there's been some great football games in this playoff run too. That's the other thing. Louisa's worked their tail off to get to this point. And, they've trailed in many of the games. And then I really think that the 2 weeks prior to this, you look at the win at Monacan and then the win at Dinwiddie. We saw sort of different versions of Louisa. And then we got to see that in one game last week. The first half that they had was just absolutely bonkers against Lafayette. And then the second half, it was so lopsided in Louisa's favor, we thought we were in the middle of a laugher.
Right.
Like, we're going to see running clock in this game? Wrong. Lafayette shows why they were in the Final Four. Just a great second half showing for them, especially on defense. Mm-hmm. And we got ourselves one heck of a football game to set up this great matchup, Louisa-Salem.
They've gotten it done on the road. They've gotten it done through the air. They've gotten it done on the ground. They've gotten it done defensively. And it seems like every dude on the roster has had some hand in this.
Last week we finally saw special teams really coming through.
Yeah.
Thomas Henley with a pair of kicks that were absolutely clutch. That's Like you said, every little roster element has sort of shown its face and come out to find a way to make a difference in this playoff run. And I thought that was pretty cool last week.
Talking to Mark Fisher afterwards, I was asking him about Robbie Gwynn because we were writing about him this week, the nose guard and the guard. And I didn't get to put this in there because just kind of how the story was working. But Fisher was talking about Gwynn, and he said, like, I mean, we just couldn't have done it without him. We couldn't have done it without any of these guys. Like, that quote to me sums it up for what this squad has been. I mean, you can't get it done. They're not at this point if Jarrett Hunter doesn't step up early in the year at quarterback. Mm-hmm. They're certainly not unbeaten, and maybe they don't have the confidence that they've had these last few weeks. There was a moment, a really interesting moment, where Malik Bell, the quarterback, could not hear Will Patrick, the offensive coordinator, and Patrick got pretty upset. And I actually saw Bell sort of calm him down from the huddle and just sort of get him to relax. I mean, like, this is an incredible group of players, group of coaches that that have found a way to work together. And in moments where, you know, we've seen many different teams come apart or get frustrated or sort of lose that edge or lose that focus, they have constantly found a way to rediscover it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the post-game sort of meetings that they have afterwards, and you can see that there's just this, I don't know, this smile on all the players' faces and the coaches, and they're just having so much fun doing this. And you always hear that, oh, I just don't want it to end. That's real talk from them. They are serious. They want to practice and keep going even after this week, even though there are no more football games, no matter what. They love doing this so much. You can tell it's every man on the roster and every coach on that staff. This is their passion.
Oh, we talked about a number of different guys that have stepped up and made big plays, and Devin McGee was one of those. I mean, the two sacks for him, just incredible plays.
And one to end the game, the last play of the game there, absolutely huge for them. It's amazing whose sort of name shows up each week that everybody's at least done it once or twice. So what are we going to see in this next one coming up? I mean, who's it going to be? I think you're going to get a total team effort from Louisa. Obviously, Salem's going to come ready. And they just put up a huge number on Sherando. So that's a team playing. I mean, they're brimming with confidence coming into this one. I think Louisa will have a little more realistic expectations of how tough this is going to be. Salem might come in with a little bit of swagger. So we'll see how that happens, sort of how, if that evens out in the first half. Because I think there is, in the state title games that I've seen, there is sometimes an undefeated team that comes out. We saw this with Goochland in 2011 against Gretna. You know, Gretna was a two-loss team at the time. And Goochland, with talent-wise on that roster, I mean, had every right to win that state title. But Gretna just had that we-got-nothing-to-lose mentality. And we saw it in the first half, and it really took it to Goochland, and Goochland didn't have enough time to sort of come back and win that one. That's what Louisa has done on the road against Monacan. And they've been underdogs in a lot of these matchups. Even hosting Lafayette, there's a lot of people that think Lafayette's defense is, I mean, statistically, even better than Louisa's. How is Louisa going to do anything about it? So I think their whole nothing-to-lose mentality that they played with the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, that Louisa has something, and I don't expect them to lose that going to Williamsburg. I think that you're going to see a real chip on the shoulder still.
Yeah, and I think that what's fun, like you said, you talked about that there's this sort of enthusiasm, this sort of excitement and fun, and I think that, you know, it's been easy over the years to see Mark Fisher as a very serious human being. I mean, he takes football very seriously. He comes out with this sort of grim game face. I mean, he is a very focused individual, but, like, he is really having a ton of fun with this squad. This whole coaching staff is having a blast. I mean, they're really enjoying things in a way that we've seen a Goochland do, you know, in the past, and that Monticello did on its ride in 2007. So a lot of fun to see a whole community get behind it. And there's
that was the thing. I mean, you had everything. I mean, they brought Bubba back.
They had the taxidermy version of Bubba the Lion.
Yeah, I mean, there was standing room only kind of
thing. Santa Claus was in the jungle. There were black towels. There was a golden ticket. Yep. Somehow, I don't know where that came from, but suddenly, athletic director George Stanley was walking around with a golden ticket. I mean, you had a lot of things happening that are very typical
typical of Louisa, I guess, or sort of emblematic of it, but they sort of still surprise you.
Yeah, I mean, you knew there were going to be people jumping out of the plane to bring in that game ball. That was a given. You know there's going to be great pyro.
But three. You didn't know there would be three or four guys coming out of the plane.
And then, you know, you know there's going to be smoke in the tunnel. Green smoke this time. So, you know, they threw a couple wrinkles in there. I mean, you only get to host playoff games but so many times, much less this late in the game.
Yeah.
So we knew that they were going to bring... it was going to be
a show. That's
a
decade worth of ideas happening right there. I mean, that's we've had since 06 to figure this out. Hey, we're going to be that much better. And just an incredible, yeah, it was cool to see everybody sort of ringing the field. I mean, there were times where deep passes were almost like in the crowd on some level.
They've done a very nice job with that student section in that back of that end zone.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, they just started doing that a couple years ago. They used to have like a place where there was some couches and some people could sit, but that was much further back. And then they moved it up to the goalposts. And I don't know, it's just... It's an added element that none of the other high schools have. Yeah. Well done. I mean, it's pretty cool.
And now you're going to get to see two, like, I can't stress how big a deal Salem football is.
It's just a tradition. I mean, yeah. it's going to be cool for Louisa to get to do this if they win this thing. If they can do it against Salem, that's just, I mean...
Yeah, I think...
You want to beat the Yankees, right? Like, if you're going to win the World Series, that's a good point. You want to beat the Yankees.
Roanoke.com had a story today talking about how... that quoted Fisher saying that Salem is essentially the Alabama of football at the 4A level. The crowd that Louisa has dwarfed other crowds on the road. We saw it at Monacan.
The Monacan fans were completely caught off.
I don't know if it dwarfed Dinwiddie, but it was certainly, there were a lot of Louisa fans at Dinwiddie. There's going to be a lot of Louisa fans down there, but Salem is likely going to match that. I mean, they're going to be at least right there with them. Salem football matters when they're playing for a state title. They're looking for a three-peat, I believe, right now. This one matters. This is going to be two programs that really, you know, have a whole community, have a whole army behind them. And it's going to be fun to see those two programs clash. I think that Louisa, you know, maybe doesn't get that kind of, you know, fame statewide that a Salem does. But we know here, we know that Louisa's, you know, so supportive of what they do as a team. And there's going to be a ton of people there. It's going to be loaded up. There's going to be charter buses. There's going to be, I don't know if the Lions coming down, but... There's going to be all kinds of stuff happening in the stands, going around, and it's going to be fun to see that sort of support and see that sort of that rallying behind a group of guys like this.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's an even split between the two fan bases. I mean, it's just going to be a pressure cooker in there, and that's going to be an added element to what looks like a great game on paper. And at this point, they all should be. You know, I mean, I think we're glad even the Lafayette game that it comes down to something. Sort of stressful at the end, as opposed to the other side of the bracket where Salem, I mean, it was just cruising in that one. We sort of get the better ride entertainment-wise out of that one. And Louisa fans in general, they've gotten just, I mean, four amazing weeks of playoff performances. Even the first round against Cortland, like that was just a sticky situation for a while there. Everything about this team has been fun to watch, so... I would not be surprised to see the stands absolutely packed for Louisa and Salem down there in Williamsburg.
No question about it. So, super fun to see what Louisa's doing, and great to see, you know, sort of that group come together and make this run. We're looking forward to, you know, seeing how it wraps up on Saturday. I mean, that'll definitely be should be a good ball game. No question about it. Also, as we know, basketball is underway, and a lot of games are already happening. A lot of teams are already, you know, moving along and starting to figure out their identity. And I think that let's start, you know, with basketball. The second CNG Paving Smooth Operator of the Week award, and that's got to go to Blue Ridge's guard, Liberty Bound Darius McGee. Man, this guy's playing his tail off right now.
Yeah, Blue Ridge lost a lot of firepower offensively. You know, and that happens when you lose Josh Colin and Amir Sims and those guys. But McGee was just a lights out shooter for them last year, and you're going to see more of that the same this year. I mean, so far he's already averaging 23.5 points a game, shooting 47%. And you got to remember where the kid shoots from. It's not like he lives in the paint. So he's just, he's deadly. But the rebounding has been there. Like 9.8 rebounds per game for a guy who, I mean, this he's not, yeah, he, this isn't a 7-footer.
He's south of 6.
Yeah. 2.5 assists per game, 2.3 steals per game. He's bringing it on every sort of element of his game. He was great last year. He's even better this year.
A great start for McGee. The thing that I noticed was just that maybe it was hard to see last year because Amir Sims was just sort of hoovering up rebounds. They had a bunch of bigs last year, and so maybe it made it a little more difficult to see. But Darius McGee can flat out get up off the floor. I mean, the guy can just jump. He is very active. He's been really active around the rim. They've got Chris Rogers is also doing a lot of good rebounding as a guard. But they're just a much more guard heavy team, and we wrote about that last, you know, in the game story from their win over Millwood. They're just a different basketball team in a lot of different ways, and I think it's going to be fun to see how McGee sort of takes control of this. And he'll be, you know, he and Sadar Calhoun are going to be those kind of key veteran leaders that have been around. They've been through Cade Lemke and company, you know, system. They're going to understand sort of the ups and downs, and they already have a big win. The win over Trinity Episcopal, man. Can't stress how big that one is.
That's a really good school last year.
Yeah.
Another team playing in this – you know, the state
a
final.
Kind very of thing. Different look. You know, that's a title winner from last year, and they're really good. And they play Armando Bacot is back for them, and he had a huge night against Blue Ridge. But Blue Ridge kind of let him get his, and then didn't let anybody else really beat him. And they did that. They lost to St. Stephen St. Agnes up at the Sleepy Thompson tournament. But if you haven't, like, just throw it in YouTube, Sleepy Thompson tournament. The crowd is incredible. The whole school is there the entire time. I think it's like after a few points or like after one basket or something, they throw toilet paper all over the place. It is one of the wildest scenes you've ever seen. And Blue Ridge was up against them, then they rallied to get back into it late. I mean, they played a great game against them. As Blue Ridge kind of finds itself, Blue Ridge is going to have a pretty good year. And that leads us into, you know, the rest of these teams. It looks like Blue Ridge Miller are going to be really good as usual. And then there's a lot of teams. There's a lot of local teams that are going to kind of be trying to figure out who they are right now.
I mean, I think, you know, I thought it was just for us, you know, vocation wise is what we have to do. We got a lot of names to learn.
Yeah.
The fans have a lot of names to learn. This is going to be a sort of a teaching year on both sides, girls and boys. I think we're going to have, I don't know if it's going to be a level of parity that's just absolutely off the wall crazy, but there's going to just be such differences from the last few seasons. I think we've gotten so accustomed to the same storylines over and over again, and those are going to shift. There's definitely a shift, particularly in the JD.
And you know, back on the privates real quick, Tandem Friends doesn't beat a lot of local teams traditionally. Two wins already over Covenant. Latrell Winkie and Jalen Anderson are a heck of a 1-2 punch for Tandem. They've got some young guys who can play too. They've got some things happening. Tandem's looking pretty good. Woodbury and Fuma are just kind of getting underway right now. You're going to see, I think, improved squads for both of them too. So there's a lot of private schools that it seems like are going to kind of be looking at pretty good years, I think.
Yeah, and it's been good to see teams that have...
Stab. I forgot about Stab, man. Yeah.
They played Covenant for the first time, 10 years?
A ton of young guys, or a ton of smaller guys on that team, but their ball movement's incredible. Nick Kent, Dalton Taylor, Miles Ward. Ward is a really unique talent. I mean, he just has an incredible ability to guard whoever. Really fun to see, you know, all these different private schools that have all these different mixes that should be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think that what sticks out sort of really only a week and a half into this, as far as the season goes, is that right now you got Fluvanna with a winning record. That's great for a program.
Big start.
That, you know, endured a lot last year. Orange County, same thing. So two schools that had to sort of take their licks over the last couple of years, coming out and getting off to early starts. Nelson County's been winning.
Nelson County rallied to beat Turner Ashby Tuesday night.
So we're going to see. I mean, eventually we'll get to see what Louisa looks like when they finish up with football.
Yeah.
But it's going to be very interesting. I don't think we're going to know a whole lot about these teams until after sort of holiday tournament time, and you know, sort of jump into district play. But let's see if these teams that have really come out and made progress, if they can maintain it, or if, I mean, Albemarle's going to be Albemarle, and Charlottesville's still going to be Charlottesville, I think. So it's going to... There's going to be something that has to give there, and that's always going to be good.
I think you got things I've seen that I know so far. Kayshawn Braxton out of Orange, he can score. Mm-hmm. Now Arnold at Altmar, he can jump. Incredible dunk that that guy had, and he's just really active on rebounding. Jaquan Anderson looks really good to start out the year. Those are the things that I know for sure. I know that that Stab team is doing a great job of moving the ball. Nick Kent's really good. It was great to see them in Covenant lock up again. But yeah, we're just learning right now. I mean, basketball is a long run, and you're going to learn a lot of different things, and you're going to see a lot of different things, and that's just kind of getting underway right now. But a really good start for a lot of different squads that didn't see as much success early in the year, like you said, Fluvanna or Orange, and so it's good to see them getting off to pretty solid starts.
Yeah, and also, you know, good to see the standards being sort of held the same. Western, they lose so many guys, and they're out to winning starts too.
Waynesboro, yeah.
And it took down Madison. And Madison, that's a team that's it's trying to figure itself out. I mean, they had a lot of wins the last 2 years for that group, and you know they've got some chemistry to work on. So
Goochland got a big win too to get going. Really took easily dispatched Central Lunenburg on Tuesday night. So yeah, a lot of teams that are. They're kind of replacing some players. Some it's going really well right out of the gate. Some are having a little bit of struggle. You lose an Isaiah Smith at Madison.
Yeah.
He's the engine a lot, you know, for a lot. Drake Twyman, he's not bad either.
Yeah, so there's a ton of different storylines early on in the season that sort of question marks that need to be sort of answered. And we're going to be able to figure that out fairly soon.
Certainly. So, big story in football coming. Still figuring out everything in basketball. That pretty much summarizes what we've been talking about. We're excited. We got a lot of coverage of Louisa. Certainly get out there and check out what's been on the site already this week. And then we got a lot coming up in the next few days. Just a really exciting time around Central Virginia Athletics to see a public school team in particular making a run to a state championship game. So big Saturday ahead as well. So thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week.